Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. I'm just so excited that you all are here. Just a reminder, and I just heard some of you go on mute, you can mute your line by pressing star 6, and you can always unmute by pressing star 6 again. That just keeps a nice, clear recording for our extended family who listens to the recordings after the fact. So let's begin with a meditation. So pausing and turning within. Let us be still an instant and forget all things we ever learned, all thoughts we had, and every preconception that we hold what things mean and what their purpose is. Everybody still hear me? If somebody could come off mute and just, okay, thank you. I heard music and I didn't know what happened. Sorry about that. So again, okay, deep breath, turning within, and I'm going to say again what I just said because it's the first sentence of our reading for tonight. Let us be still an instant and forget all things we ever learned, all thoughts we had, and every preconception that we hold of what things mean and what their purpose is. Let us remember not our own ideas of what the world is for. We do not know. So if you can just imagine yourself just releasing it all. Dropping our ideas, our beliefs, our preconceptions, and handing it all over to Holy Spirit. Knowing that as we empty ourselves, our awareness of truth can flow in. Because all of our preconceptions, our beliefs, our thoughts of what things are for, those are covering up the blazing, shining love that's there within every single one of us. So just being willing to release everything, even if it's just for a split second. It's our tiny bit of willingness that matters. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. So taking a nice mindful breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Thank you, everybody. Just a reminder, there were a few moments that we had of background noise. I did mute some people in the background, so you can always unmute later on by pressing star 6. And thank you so much. It just keeps a nice clear line for those who are listening later. I just have actually two announcements. One I mentioned already, and that is that because our calls are growing, I'm just going to ask everybody to be super mindful when we're sharing that we really try to keep it succinct and, you know, maybe just to like a minute, just to give space for everybody who's here, for other people who want to share, and it just feels like the right thing to do at this point since our number of callers has increased. So thank you so much for being mindful of that. And secondly, I'm going to actually, I'll read the page references once again, but as I was reading, I felt this, I have like 10 words going through my head at the same time. Let me back up. As I was reading before, the section was making my head spin a little bit. It's funny how sometimes I can read this before a call and be like, I have no idea what this just said. And then we join together and get on the call, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's so obvious and clear. So when I was having a moment earlier of, I don't know what this section is even, you know, talking about, I opened up the commentary from Robert Perry as part of the Course Companions program, which you all have heard me talk about before. It's the Circle of Atonements program where basically they walk you through the text and the workbook and the manual, and there's commentaries and videos, and it's all sorts of good stuff. And I've been a member for a while now, and so I wanted to actually begin with just reading some of Robert's commentary about this section, because I think it will help all of us understand this section. Because the first time I read it, I was like, what? And then that thought led me to another thought that I just want to mention. Some people, and maybe some of you are on the call, signed up through me for Course Companions to get my bonus, which is access to the From Anxiety to Love Masterclass, which will be launching now in the fall. And they're doing another launch, another opening of Course Companions, so I'm going to offer the same bonus again. So anybody who's interested in signing up for Course Companions, through me, you get that added bonus of my masterclass when it comes out. So I haven't announced that yet, but just keep an eye on your email from me, and I will announce that as soon as it's ready. So page references. If you have the CE, the purple book, please go to page 901. We're starting at the very top of the page. If you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, please go to chapter 31, part 1, paragraph 12. It begins with the sentence, "Let us be still an instant." That corresponds to the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, chapter 31, part 1, paragraph 12. And in the Sparkle, that is in the Sparkle, it's page 705, and it's the last full paragraph on the page before that new section. If you're reading from an edition other than the purple book, your paragraph breaks are definitely going to be different tonight, so just keep that in mind. Now, as I promised, I'm just going to read first the commentary that Robert Perry wrote, because it was really helpful to me. So just kick back for a few moments and take this in. So Robert Perry writes that yesterday's section, so the section that we read last week or over the past couple weeks, spoke of ancient lessons we taught ourselves about the Son of God, ourselves, and others. Today's section continues that discussion, addressing a particular form those ancient lessons take and how we can let them go. The particular form being addressed is the leader-follower dynamic. There are times when we want to be the leader, the one in control, so we assign our brother the role of follower. After all, you can't be a leader without followers. Then there are other times when we just don't want the responsibility. We want to take it easy and merely follow, so we push our brother forward into the leader role. If we are honest, we can see this dynamic all over our lives. We are always saying either, I want control, or I want someone else to shoulder the burden. Our preferences on this level can jump around erratically, and every time they do, our brother is supposed to jump with them. Surprise, you're the leader now. So what then happens when our latest whim says jump, and our brother does not say how high? I think we know what happens. And then he gives a course quote that we'll be reading about how we hate the one that we gave the leader's role when we would have it. So in other words, our brother doesn't fulfill the roles that we give him, and we get pissed off at him. It says then, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just kind of skimming for the main points. We need to open our mind about our brother, not in a casual, superficial way, but deeply. And so Jesus wants us to genuinely let our old images of our brothers which are stuck to the walls of our minds like baked on food, be loosened from our minds and swept away. So that's what we're going to start with when this first paragraph begins with, let me be still an instant and just release everything. So this goes on to say, and I won't read the whole thing, but we'll get started with our reading. It goes on to say that it's not about leading or following. It's about walking side by side with our brother, which I just think is so beautiful. All right. So having said that, let's dive in. Let us be still an instant. And by the way, just a reminder, if you have an edition other than the complete and annotated edition, your paragraph breaks are definitely different tonight. Let us be still an instant and forget all things we ever learned, all thoughts we had, and every preconception that we hold of what things mean and what their purpose is. Let us remember not our own ideas of what the world is for. We do not know. Let every image held of anyone be loosened from our minds and swept away. Be innocent of judgment, unaware of any thoughts of evil or of good that ever cross your mind of anyone. Now do you know him not? But you are free to learn of him and learn of him anew. Now is he born again to you, and you are born again to him, without the past that sentenced him to die, and you with him. Now is he free to live as you are free, because an ancient learning passed away and left a place for truth to be reborn. So we are starting, it's interesting to me that in the editing in other editions, this is what the section ended with, but in this section in the CE, we're starting with this idea. And this really sets a stage for just wiping clean all of the roles that we have established for our brother, all the expectations, all the ways that we see our brother. I have experienced, since it's Father's Day, by the way, happy Father's Day to any fathers on the line, those of us, our fathers on earth, in heaven, honoring all the ways that many father, my own father, I've had a lot of healing with, and part of what I recognized at one point, my dad came over, and something had happened, so I was a little miffed at him. And I realized that when I look at him, or when I was looking at him, leading up until this point, like my whole life, when I look at him, I am seeing the past. I am seeing my ideas of him. I'm seeing my memories of what he's done that didn't meet my expectations. I am laying an ego on him. I'm laying my idea of who he is on him. And it is preventing me from seeing the Christ in him in this moment. So this first paragraph is a beautiful starting place of just, or ending place if we're in the other edition, of just being willing to let go of every preconceived notion we have of our brother, just to release it all, for him to be reborn and us born again to him without the past that sentenced him to die and you with him, as it says in this paragraph. So this is just really, really striking to me. It's really beautiful. Any questions before we read the next paragraph?
Corinne?
Yes.
When you did the healing with your dad, did you use like the course, you know, I'm choosing wrong, just, you know, those type of things, or were there supplements that you had used?
Working the course with my dad has been, like, ever since day one of picking up the course. So it's not something that I just did there in that moment. It's been doing the workbook lessons and, you know, using him. Sometimes the workbook lessons ask you to think of somebody who you have a challenging relationship with. He might have been the first person to come to mind. It's been the whole journey. So it always boils down to, am I willing to give my perceptions of this other, you know, that I see, am I willing to give those over to Holy Spirit? Even when I started studying A Course in Miracles, I remember I started when I was a sophomore in college. I remember distinctly my senior year of college trying to just hand him over to the Holy Spirit, hand over all my feelings about him. I just wanted to hand it over and let it go. And it didn't budge. I just, you know, all the feelings were there. Every time he did what he did, I'd get mad. And finally, I realized that I was trying to bypass my lessons. I was trying to tiptoe around the painful, ugly stuff, and I had to go through my lessons. So I actually had to learn. It was part of my own growth to learn how to speak up to my dad, how to express myself, how to actually have a conversation with somebody at that time. He listens great now most of the time, but he didn't at all back then. So, you know, I had a lot of learning to do, and I couldn't just, because conflict was a huge, scary thing for me. I did not like rocking the boat. So I had to learn how to be okay with stepping into a rocking boat. You know, I had to learn how to be okay even with all that going on. So it was a journey, Nikki.
And very quickly, how does that contrast with your other family member who obviously you're not doing the course with that person? Do you find any differences, or what's the contrast for that with you? Because I know that that one was a hard one.
Yeah, you know, the other relationship, so I'm assuming most of us have heard this before, but I'll repeat it really quickly just in case anybody, I actually see a couple new faces, not faces, but caller IDs. I have another challenging relationship in my life, and it's been a lifelong relationship in my family, and this person, the difficulty with that relationship has been that person actively hates A Course in Miracles, like hates it because they've been on the receiving end from yet another family member of kind of like Bible thumping, but like thumping the course instead. Well, it says it in here, so you're not doing it right. Like, sadly, they've been the recipient, or they were the recipient of that kind of behavior for quite some time in the past. So that relationship also, it's been because of A Course in Miracles that's undergone significant transformations. It's not perfect yet, but it's light years beyond where it was. And again, same thing, the workbook lessons, picking that person, you know, to focus on in the workbook lessons. And another key piece in that healing is also recognizing what I'm bringing to the table. And in that particular relationship, it was Robert Perry, when I started studying from the CE, he was the one that said, we have murderous attack thoughts. It was on an early podcast that he did with Emily Bennington, and Emily was like, well, you mean just attack thoughts? And he was like, no, murderous thoughts. And she was like, oh. And most of us are like, oh, I don't have murderous attack thoughts in my head, because that's so ugly. But his assertion that we actually do have murderous attack thoughts, you know, they might be deep, they might be buried, they'll come out at certain times in certain relationships. And his assertion gave me permission, because the Course does say we have murderous attack thoughts. You know, this whole world is like an attack on God. By his assertion that we have murderous attack thoughts, it gave me permission to access mine that I was holding in this relationship with this difficult family member. And in being able to own it and to see it, it was painful. And there's a line in the Course that says, actually, it's in the CE and it's in the Ur text. It's not in the other editions. Jesus actually says, if you need to know, I'm paraphrasing, but he says, if you need to know about a past life, I'll tell you when it's going to be helpful to others and of no interest to your ego. And at this time, when I was owning my murderous attack thoughts, I actually had, it wasn't a vision that I saw with my body's eyes. It was an inner vision, an inner knowing of a past life memory that surfaced with me and this other difficult family member, and we've been back and forth at it for lifetimes. And this is when I was like, I'm putting my foot down, and I'm not engaging in this attack defense pattern anymore. I love them too much, and I love the sun. I love everybody, you know, so much that I want healing for all of us. That I'm not going down this road anymore with this pattern with them. So it's been the whole complete picture, Nikki, that's been, you know, helpful in these relationships. So thank you for your question.
Thank you for
your
candor.
Yeah. Thank you.
Corinne?
Thank you. Yes.
John. Hi.
Hi, John.
Sorry, I got here a little late. Didn't get a chance to say hi.
Glad you're here.
Yeah, me too. I almost missed that. I'm busy doing stuff. Anyways, can I ask, how did you access those murderous attack thoughts? Because that's a question that's come up in like my Saturday gathering and mine too. I just, you know, I mean, I know I have them, and I've experienced. There's times, there's people I want to kill. It's like I could be friends with that person, you know. I mean, not literally. I know I'm not going to, but it's like You know, it's like, thank God I don't run the gun sometimes, you know, but, you know.
If you're, I think the key is just being willing to access them if you need to for your healing. So saying to Holy Spirit, I am willing to look at the darkness in my mind if you need me to see it, you know, if it's going to serve the healing for all of us. I'm willing to look at this because I know I'm going to look at it with you. We're not ever looking at this alone. So for me, it's been those situations. I mean, it wasn't hard with this family member. Like, I was like, they're driving me crazy. I want to, like, you know, punch them in the face. Like, it wasn't hard to access those feelings with that particular family member. We might not necessarily have those intense feelings toward everybody in our lives, but you got to just start with where you are. And if you do have those relationships that are really triggering, that's probably going to bring you right to them, you know, quickly. And again, the point is not just to, like, hang out in those murderous attack thoughts. The point is that we are allowing whatever is there that needs to come up for healing, to come up to give it to Holy Spirit because we want to heal it. So it really starts with that willingness if it's in the highest good.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, John. Oh, very good. Let's read another paragraph. And just a reminder for anybody who actually, I'm not sure who is not on mute, so I'm just going to mute you. Thank you. So, okay, second paragraph. An ancient lesson. Thank you so much. An ancient lesson is not overcome by opposing of the new and the old. I'm going to read that one more time. An ancient lesson is not overcome by the opposing of the new and the old. It is not vanquished that the truth be known, or fought against to lose to truth's appeal. There is no battle which must be prepared, no time to be expended, and no plan that need be laid for bringing in the new. There is an ancient battle being waged against the truth, but truth does not respond. Who could be hurt in such a war unless he hurts himself? He has no enemy in truth. And can he be assailed by dreams? Let us review again what seems to stand between you and the truth of what you are, for there are steps in its relinquishment. The first is the decision which you make, but afterwards the truth is given you. I feel inclined to keep reading, but I'll pause here briefly just to highlight that an ancient lesson of falsity, an ancient lesson of learning the ego, It's not overcome by truth forcing anything. There's no war between truth and illusion it's illusion, it's the world, it's the ego that is trying to attack truth and tamp it down, keep it out of our awareness. But as it clearly says, truth does not respond. It looks straight past that. It does not respond. So it says, who could be hurt in such a war unless he hurts himself? So obviously, we're all hurting ourselves by keeping, you know, truth out of our awareness, and we're learning how to not do that. We are absolutely learning how to let the truth reveal itself in our minds so we can fully embody and embrace the truth of who we are. And I'll just highlight the last couple sentences. It says that there are steps in this relinquishment of falsity. The first step we have to make is a decision. So we have to decide, and all of us have made this decision because you're here. It's a decision that there's got to be another way. There's got to be another way of looking at all of this, of being, and I want to know what that is. And then it says, but afterwards the truth is given you. So we can't force awareness of truth to dawn upon our minds. We can't decide for truth. We don't know how to do that. It's the Holy Spirit in us who does. And the Holy Spirit, when we meet the conditions of peace, when we are, you know, willing, handing things over, and not trying to do the Holy Spirit's job, the truth is then given. It just flows through us. So let's read the next paragraph, and then I'll pause for questions. It says, you would establish truth. And how true is that? You would establish truth. And by your wish, you set two choices to be made each time you think you must decide on anything. Neither is true, nor are they different. Yet must we see them both before we can look past them to the one alternative that is a different choice. So again, here we're getting into our two choices are, am I going to be the leader or the follower? And it's not until I can see them both and give them to the Holy Spirit that I can then really know that there's one alternative between those things that is a different choice, and that is to walk alongside our brother rather than that sort of power play or back and forth of leader and follower. I'm going to back up, and I'm hearing background noise again. So whoever that is, if you wouldn't mind muting, thank you so much. I'm going to just back up and read another sentence over again. Yet must we see them both before we can look past them to the one alternative that is a different choice. But not in dreams you made, that this might be obscured to you. What you would choose between is not a choice, and gives but the illusion it is free, for it will have one outcome either way. I want to read that sentence one more time. What you would choose between is not a choice, and gives but the illusion it is free, for it will have one outcome either way. Thus it is really not a choice at all. The leader and follower emerge as separate roles, each seeming to possess advantages you would not want to lose. So in their fusion, there appears to be the hope of satisfaction and of peace. So again, what this is like leading up to in this paragraph is, so what you would choose between is not a choice. So if you're choosing leader or choosing follower, it seems like we have, you know, a free choice here that we're choosing one or the other, but it's still having one outcome either way, which is still in the ego thought system. The true equality that the Course is teaching, again, is we can think of that symbolized as our equality with our brother and walking alongside of us, walking alongside one another. Let's pause here for a moment. So anybody have any questions coming up or comments?
Hey, Corinne, it's Courtney.
Hi, Courtney.
Hey, I think I'm a little confused on the leader and follower dynamic. I would love if you could speak more to that because I think I'm thinking about in, you know, normal ways, like teacher or student. And I think the course is talking about a little bit bigger than that, and ego choices. So I would just love if maybe you could share an example or talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, great question. And, you know, those are definitely the obvious roles that are much clearly, you know, a leader role. You know, I was thinking, it was funny when I was reading this, sometimes I, like, crack jokes to myself that I don't think anybody would think would be funny, but I was thinking about, like, spiritual teachers and how this is kind of like, not that the course is opening up a can of whoop-ass, but, like, it's clearly saying, like, if you're putting yourself in a leader role and expecting that you have followers, like, watch out, spiritual ego. So my mind, you know, as I was reading this, went to that again, very obvious role, because they have, like, you know, there's language nowadays of, like, a thought leader or an influencer, and, you know, clearly putting somebody ahead of others. And, I mean, think about, like, Instagram. I mean, that's a really practical example. Everybody wants followers, right? Everybody wants to be, like, the center of attention and have, you know, a lot of followers. In a day-to-day life, you know, I think of times when, just in the dynamic with my husband, there are some times when I want to call the shots, and then, well, there's other times that I don't really care so much, and actually I'd much rather I'm pretending that I'm talking to him. I'd much rather he take initiative and do something. And who decides that? That's just like flip-flopping based on a whim, just like it said in that opening reading. So thinking about times when you want somebody else to do something for you, and then in a different context, if they try to do that same thing, you're like, what are you doing? You know, I want to take care of this. You're stepping on my toes. Does that help?
Yeah, I think so. And I think thinking back to the original, like, us wanting to follow God and then also wanting to lead, does that make sense too? Is that kind of that dynamic playing out?
So that's an interesting connection that you're making, because the ego in us, yeah, we want to establish the truth. We want to lead and forget about God when our happiness actually comes, because, you know, it's a little bit different there, because God comes first, and, you know, we are creations of God. So even though there's no hierarchy in truth, there's like a little bit of a difference there. But you're absolutely right that, you know, the ego wants to be the one calling the shots and the leader. So on a higher, you know, view of looking at, like, the formless realm, that's a great point. I'm actually going to ask, thank you. Does anybody have any really quick examples of your own life of, like, seeing yourself in a leader role and then that switching and, like, you wanting somebody else to be the one responsible? Like, any really practical, quick examples? I'm
Corinne,
like, this happens all the time. Yes.
Nikki again. So I do like Reiki and things like that. And one of the things that, like, I don't know if this applies to it, but, like, I just remember when I go to teach people things, they're like, oh, you're so wise. I'm like, no, I'm just the inspiration of what's inside of you. So that's sort of like an example of it, where I just kind of go more neutral and people want to put me in that leader role. And I'm like, no, I'm just pulling out what's inside of you. I'm just, you know, a helper, just like you. You have the power.
Yeah. I love that. That's a great example. Thank you, Nikki. I appreciate that. I mean, it can even come down to, like, dinner. Like, there's times when I want to be completely in charge of the kitchen, and then that can just flip, like, a switch, and it's like, I don't want to do anything. Like, please, like, you're not – I'm exaggerating. I don't say this to my husband, but, like, you need to do more for me. You know, I wouldn't – that's not my thought. I'm just using that as an example, but that could be an example.
Korean.
Like, step up and be the man. yes, yeah, Sue.
It even gets as low in our house as I don't want to be in control of the remote control. You decide what we're watching. Another time.
Yeah.
No, I want to watch such and such, you know, tonight.
Yep.
It's just crazy.
It is crazy. Thank you for that. And, it, you know, what does that really come down to? But, like, sometimes wanting to be in control and other times wanting to relinquish control. So it's like we flip back and forth between those two.
What should we do? Just recognize that, or what is?
Well, this section is really asking us to recognize it, and again we're gonna get to that, because again it's gonna talk about walking alongside our brother. How that translates to a remote control, I'm not sure at the moment. When there's only one remote, but it might be noticing if there's an impulse. Okay, here's the answer coming through. If there's an impulse to want to be, the one in control of the remote, it might be pausing and taking a breath and recognizing, like, oh, I'm in control mode right now. And you know what? I love my brother, my husband, whatever form of the relationship that is. And I want to be open to maybe what they want to see. And how about we share in this and decide together instead of just one of us? That might be one way.
Perfect
that it looks.
Answer. Very good. Thank you.
Can I add?
Thank you, Sue. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. I was thinking about with work. I'm in a role where I tend to go into a control freak at times because I'm a project manager for construction. I deal with architects and contractors and stuff. And a lot of times I want to control everything, being the project manager. And then I notice I do this thing where if I'm overwhelmed and I have too much work, then all of a sudden I've flipped my attitude and I'm like, why can't they do their own work? Why do I have to do it?
Right. And, that's perfect.
You know what I mean? Like I'm most of the time I'm like, no, don't do it. I'll do it because it's not going to get done. And I don't say this, but I'm thinking it's not going to get done right unless I do it. So that's the control freak. And then when I have too much work, I'm going, dang it, why can't they do it themselves? Why do I have to do it?
That's perfect. Oh, Cheryl, that's a perfect example. Thank you so much. That's so practical and so relatable. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. That was great. Okay, let's read paragraph number 4. If you're in a different edition, I don't know, you're probably mid-paragraph, but we're starting with a sentence. You see yourself divided into both these roles. So you can find your place. So again, paragraph number 4 in the CE. You see yourself divided into both these roles, forever split between the two. And every friend or enemy becomes a means to help you save yourself from this. Perhaps you call it love. Perhaps you think that it is murder justified at last. You hate the one you gave the leader's role when you would have it, and you hate as well his not assuming it. At times you want to let the follower in you arise and give away the role of leadership. Is that not what Cheryl just said in that sentence? That's too funny. And this is what you made your brother for and learned to think that this his purpose is. Unless he serves it, he has not fulfilled the function that was given him by you. And thus he merits death, because he has no purpose and no usefulness to you. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Okay, so this is really speaking to the roles that we assign to our brother, how those roles will never be fulfilled because we're the one, that's deciding and flip-flopping and changing our mind, and our brother, is never going to fulfill the role exactly as we want the role to be fulfilled, and the hidden purpose in this dynamic is to never see our brother as they truly are, to never see, our complete equality, that we're going to just get caught in this ego pattern. And that's all this is describing, is an ego pattern of this leader and follower thing. And obviously, though, we know where this is going. We know that there is a way out of this, but we are being prompted now to look at it. It's pretty extreme for the Course to say that unless your brother is fulfilling the role you assigned him, unless he serves it, he has not fulfilled the function that was given him by you, and thus he merits death because he has no purpose and no usefulness to you. So right there, you know, the Course is teaching us that the slightest sigh, all the ego emotions that we have, the difficult emotions, they're all affirming death. And that's hard to wrap our heads around. But if we're not dwelling in the light and the truth of heaven all the time, what are we doing? But we're turning away from heaven and looking toward death. So this I feel like is speaking to a murderous attack thought that is hidden in our mind when our brother doesn't fulfill the function that we assigned to him. And we get pissed off. And if we're pissed off, even if it's just a little bit, the Course is saying there's no difference between a tiny little attack thought and all-out war or all-out murder, that they're actually all the same. There's no degrees. It's either love or it's fear. And yet here we are, though. Yes, please, go for it, Paula.
I'll try and make this quick. I am plein air painting, meaning I'm painting outside, and I have this wonderful deck, and I set everything up out there, and I'm painting, and I'm so happy, and it's heaven, and I'm doing this now for weeks, and all of a sudden, my next-door neighbor puts a basketball hoop up right at the fence, like right right there.
Oh, no,
in front of
me. I see where this is going.
And talk about, and thus he merits death, because I literally wanted, I just had such a fit. I can't even tell you. Well, all right, I know the Holy Spirit is the answer no matter what the question. Now, this is a process with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I, believe me, took this to the Holy Spirit and said, look, I don't know what to do here.
Mm-hmm.
And after a couple of days of just painting inside, which I didn't want to do, I said to myself, this is the inspiration. Go out front and paint. Go paint in the driveway.
Mm.
Go on the other side of the house. What is the big... Well, then it turns out, so that's what I started doing. And it actually turns out that it's a little bit easier for me to get everything out there and set up. I don't particularly like having the whole neighborhood see me doing this. But who cares? Once I start painting, I'm happy. Telling you, it's the solution. But once again, you know, working with the Holy Spirit is always the answer, because murderous attack just remains in my mind if I don't hand it over. Son of a bitch, how can you do this?
Paula. Thank you. I love your examples. And you just reminded me of another example. I have neighbors that they aren't directly behind me, but they're like behind me toward a diagonal. And it's new people who bought a house, and it's a bunch of young men who you can hear the murderous attack thoughts in my voice. You know, I want to say like lots of testosterone. They bought the house to fix it up, to rent it, and they're still fixing it up. They cut down a ton of trees, which if you want to know how to get under Corinne's skin, like that's a great way. And they ride a little moped in circles in their little backyard. Like, why?
Oh, in circles. And good.
Because here again, you know, they're failing the role that I assigned to them, which was to be quiet and not disturb anybody. And it's either a block to love or it's an opportunity for healing. It's either, again, love or a call for love. So you're absolutely right, Paula. The Holy Spirit is the only way out, because what we will lay on our brother is, you know, condemnation, and that keeps all of us in chains.
But listen,
and so my
if I'm going to be a plein air painter, I can't just paint in my backyard. This
right,
is like,
right.
This is like, come on, you got to get out there.
That's great.
It's a blessing. It's like, oh my God, yeah, I got to get used to
right.
The Holy
awesome.
Spirit
That's awesome.
Is everything, Corinne.
It is.
That's
yep.
the answer
100%.
To everything.
Always.
Okay.
Always.
I'm going
always.
Back on mute.
Thank you, Paula. Thank you. That
I love
great.
You, Corinne.
I love you, too. Oh, wow. So, and those murderous attack thoughts, again, they're never, we can't clean them up by ourselves, or we are doing the Holy Spirit's job. Our little part is to notice what's coming up and to be willing to hand it over to see differently. And when we are willing to hand it over, when we do that, then we can, you know, bring our mind to a thought of truth or a workbook lesson or a Course in Miracles quote, but we're not asked to self-correct. That's a very subtle way that the spiritual ego will stay in place. Somebody actually asked me, since we've been talking about race and racism, I'm just going to throw this out there because it's relevant. Somebody asked me on Facebook, what is my starting place? Is racism healed or is it not healed? So they wanted to know, am I starting with a thought of truth or am I starting with a thought of falsity? And my response was basically that I'm starting where I am. And that's in order to not bypass, again, we have to be where we are. And we've made this world very real for ourselves. So I have to be where I am because, as I just said, we're not asked to clean up the ego thought system by ourselves. That's just the ego trying to stay in place. It's about again, you know, noticing what's in the mind and bringing it to Holy Spirit. And that's how we don't bypass. So. Okay, let's read, I think we'll read one more paragraph and then we'll pause for the night. So I'm on paragraph number 5. So we ended with the sentence, and thus he merits death because he has no purpose and no usefulness to you. And then we begin with the next paragraph. And what of him? What does he want of you? What could he want but what you want of him? Herein is life. As easily as death, for what you choose as well for him. Two calls you make to him as he to you. Between these two is choice, because from them there is a different outcome. If he be the leader or the follower to you, it matters not. I'm going to read that one more time. If he be the leader or the follower to you, it matters not. For you have chosen death. Whew. But if he calls for death or calls for life, for hate or for forgiveness and for help, is not the same in outcome. Hear the one and you are separate from him and are lost. But hear the other and you join with him, and in your answer is salvation found. So this is reminding us that there are only ever two calls. It is love or a call for love. It is the ego or it is truth. And anything, leader or follower, we're choosing ego. It's when we are hearing the call for love that we are joining with our brother. And in your answer is salvation found. So with those young men that are across from my backyard driving their little mopeds around in circles that I have to listen to, it's up to me to see my annoyance, my attack thoughts, my desire to make them go away, and to bring that to the Holy Spirit, because they are just as holy and very much a part of me as any easy relationship that I might have, as any loving relationship, they are part of that too. And so I am willing, and that's what we all, that's our small little part, is to simply be willing. The ego finds it insulting that we are asked to do so little. It would much rather fix things itself. Okay, so we're going to pause there for the night, and we just have a couple, actually like about three minutes remaining. So are there any comments or questions that anybody wants to chime in? It sounds like we're good. So thank you, everybody, so much for being here. Put a little marker where we left off so you can easily find it next week, especially because between editions we have those different paragraph breaks. And I love you all so very, very much. Feel free to come off mute to say goodbye. And I love you
too.
All. I'll see you all next week.
We love
thank
you.
Thank you.
Love you, too.
Have a great
day. Thank you.
Bye,
everybody.
Happy Friday.
Good night. Have a great week.